All right. Children, you are absolutely marvelous. Thank you so much for that. And thank you, Mrs. Antor, and all the teachers for all that you have done in preparing them. And parents, thank you especially for bringing them here tonight. I love when the children are in worship, whether it's on a Wednesday evening or whether it's a Sunday morning, whenever it is. Children are a blessing to all of us, and they are such a huge part of our lives, no matter what our stage of life might be. But we all know that children can be sometimes just a little bit unpredictable. Children sometimes do things that we don't necessarily expect, and as parents or others who love them, we often have to do something about that. I was reading not just too long ago, there was a mother, she had 8 children, so 8 children, a rather large brood, and she had gone over to her neighbor's house just for a few minutes. She had left her older children in charge. Now, when she returned, she found that her 5 youngest children were all huddled there in the living room, and she couldn't really see because her view was blocked. But it looked like there was something furry and wiggly that they were playing with. And so she kind of spreads them out so that she can look. And to her dismay, she sees that her 5 children are playing with a family of skunks. And she is just imagining in her mind what is going to happen, as we would as well as parents. And so, thinking quickly, she said, "Run, children, run to your rooms." And they did. Immediately, they all got up, carrying one of the skunks with them to their bedrooms. I am pretty sure that is not what the mother meant. And I can also imagine that for the next several weeks or so, there was a rather strong skunk odor in that household. Well, I think that it's really a pretty good parable of what life is like. And not just for children, but for all of us, even though we are the children of God. No matter how far we go, no matter how much we run, we can never get away from what we might call the stench of sin. Because we all sin, don't we? And it's a constant battle, even in our own lives, even when we know what is right to do the will of God. The psalmist once wrote that, "Behold, I was born into iniquity, and it is in sin that my mother conceived me." What he's saying is that we all have a propensity to sin, to go our own way. Ever since Adam and Eve were in the garden and they rebelled, when they decided that their way was better than God's way, we have followed along that same path. We have this idea, a philosophy that we've kind of adopted, where we can do whatever we want. It really doesn't matter. And certainly if I see somebody else do something, well, then it makes it okay for me to do it as well. It's kind of like the old beer commercial. Do you remember the one with the most interesting man in the world? You remember that guy? Now, you know, I watched a bunch of those over the years, and there would be scenes of him doing outrageous things, and then there would be his voice, and it would say things like, "His reputation is expanding even faster than the universe," you know, talking about all the great things that he had done. Or another one went something like this: "He experienced an awkward moment once just so we would know what it feels like," right? Another one was talking about, you know, all the amazing things that he had done. And it just reminds us that even though, I will admit, I admire the man's self-assurance. I admire a lot about what he has done, but it highlights our own selfish human nature. And at the end, he would always say, what was always the catchphrase? Stay thirsty, my friends. Of course, he was trying to sell beer, but it reminds us that there's always this need that we have inside of us to rebel against the will of God. Well, this evening, as we look at our gospel lesson, there is a remedy for all of us and a remedy for our sin. We're told very explicitly by Jesus in this gospel of Mark what we can do, at least in part, about our sin problem. Now, it starts out and it says that it would be better off for a person that if he leads his child into sin, it would be better off for him to put a millstone around his neck and to be thrown into the sea. And then there is this remedy that is given. It said it's better to have your hand or your foot cut off or to have your eye plucked out than for it to cause you to sin. Now, Jesus is not at all saying that we should maim ourselves, but what he's saying is that we should cut ourselves off from anything that might lead us or our families into sin. So I know that there are individuals who often have a problem with their temper. And what he's saying is when you get into those kinds of situations, that it would be better off for you if you just avoided them altogether. So if you know that you have a temper, instead of being in those situations where you might lose it, you simply avoid it. Which for me, it just tells me that I can't root for the Bears anymore because that always makes me angry. Or if you have friends who are doing things that you know that are wrong, you cut off that relationship. If you drink too much or if you smoke too much, what Jesus is saying is maybe that you ought to examine your habits and fall into a routine that isn't going to cause you to do something to excess. It's kind of like one time there was a very wealthy man and he was going to hire a chauffeur. And he interviewed three different people and he said, I've got a scenario for you. There's a little narrow road that leads up to my mansion, and it goes right by a cliff. So, sir, tell me, how close do you think you could drive to the cliff and still not go over the edge? And the first one said, well, I think that I could get probably within a foot, and you would still be safe. And then he asked the second one, and the second one said, well, sir, I think that I could get even within 6 inches, and you wouldn't have to worry a bit. And then he asked the third one, and the third one said, well, sir, I would never put you or your family to that kind of a risk. And so I would take a different route altogether. And that's what Jesus is telling us, especially as parents. We never want to put our family at risk. And so when we know that something might lead us into a sinful action, that we should take a different route altogether. But then he goes on to say in our gospel for tonight, and it goes right back to the very beginning of our worship service, the truth is we are going to fall into sin from time to time, and we're not always going to be the perfect example for our children. And so then we do what we did tonight, the very beginning of our worship, is we admitted to God that we are sinners. We admitted to him, we talked with him, that we don't always do what we ought to do. And like a loving parent, our God doesn't say, you know, I'm going to punish you because of what you have done. I'm not going to yell and scream at you because you didn't do everything right. Instead, he says, "You are my child and I love you. And I have a solution for your sin problem. And that is, I'm going to send someone else into your place. It is my only son, Jesus himself. He is the one who went to the cross. And now that you have admitted and you truly repent of what you have done because of what Christ, my son, has done, going to the cross and dying for you and rising from the grave, your penalty has already been paid." And so surely we avoid those situations whenever we can so that we do not sin, but yet knowing that there are going to be times when we do fall into sin because that is our nature. Know that we have a God who loves us, that he has provided a solution for our sin problem. And that's something then that we can model for our children as well, because they're going to mess up because they're kids. Instead of the yelling or screaming, but rather saying, "I love you and you're my child. And just as our Heavenly Father has forgiven me when I mess up, I'm going to forgive you as well." And then to know that our God has sent his Spirit into our hearts, and he's given us his word, and he's given us people around us to encourage us to be the example that we want to be. Jesus said that as his disciples, that we are to be the salt of the earth. And what that means is that everything that we touch ought to be changed. Just like light changes the darkness, and salt makes things tasty in our lives. That's what we're supposed to do as well. You know, as a pastor, oftentimes when I walk into a room, especially when people are doing something that they know that maybe they ought to do, and they know that I'm a pastor, people change. They do. I've seen it many, many times. People lose half their vocabulary when I enter a room, especially some of those colorful adjectives. Or I've seen people who will take their beer cans and stuff them in places like in the cushions of their couch or other places where they regret that they had stuffed them later, right? And that's really the way it ought to be for all of us. In Bible times, people would get their table salt from the Dead Sea. Literally, they would dig up rocks covered with salt and they would put them on their dinner table. And then they would just scrape off some of it to flavor their food. And then when it was gone, all that was left, of course, was the rock. And what would they do? They would throw it away because it had lost its saltiness. And that's what Jesus is telling all of us. In our lesson for tonight, he said, if you as my people, if you as Christians lose your saltiness, then what good are you? You no longer have any value. Well, here's the good news for all of us. We never lose our saltiness. If Christ lives in us, we will always be salty. Our problem is that sometimes we like to put our salt in a little salt shaker and we put it up on a shelf somewhere and we don't use it. I just want to encourage you this evening in the few minutes that we have tonight, parents and grandparents and all of you who love your children so much, you have tremendous influence over them. Much more than anyone else. Parents, even more than our teachers here, and certainly more than the world in which they will live. You have an opportunity to model to them the love and forgiveness that our Heavenly Father has modeled for all of us. But not only to practice forgiveness and to love them even when they mess up, but to set that example and to be the salt in their lives. It's true. We're always going to walk around with this odor of sin because we are sinful creatures. And yet we know that our God loves us in spite of our sin, and he will always, and I mean always, forgive us. And not only offer his forgiveness, but remove the guilt and the shame over any sin at all. And that is what I want you to do for these precious children as well. To teach them what it means to be loved and forgiven. And if I can borrow a little line from the most interesting man that ever lived, stay salty. Truly, my friends, stay salty. This evening, let's all rise then and profess that faith, that saltiness that our Lord has taught to us, and let's say it together tonight.